Sometimes a toddler would fall out of the wagon or stumble into the dirt. We let him deal with it. When the young ones wrecked their bicycles and skinned their knees, we paid no attention except to say something like, "You shouldn't go so fast until you learn to ride better." They would come to dinner, and we would see bloody knees or skinned hands and ask, "What happened to you, Tiger?" "Oh, nothing. Just slid out on the curb in the loose gravel. I think I can make it next time." "Take it easy. You don't want to break something," we would respond. Now, our responses, or lack thereof, were not out of unconcern for our children. Quite the contrary. There were times when we had to hold each other back in order for our child to learn the lessons of life. The times when medical attention was necessary, we administered it calmly and efficiently, but returned them to their play to reassess what had gone wrong. Your response to the actions and behavior of your children is important to the development of their character. You do not want to produce a teenager and ultimately an adult who hurts himself when he needs attention. While still a youth, I saw a teenage girl, jilted by a boyfriend, feign being hurt. I also know an adult who hurts herself every time she gets emotionally disturbed. If, in your family, these extremes never occur, be grateful. It is, nonetheless, far more pleasant to live with a child or teenager who is not a crybaby. Also, your daughter's future husband will appreciate you having trained her, and your sons will be far better men. Hold still. When our first daughter was a young girl, maybe 7 or 8, I looked up to see a brown recluse spider crawling along her neck. Their bite is very cruel, indeed. A pound of flesh may rot out where one bites. My daughter had been thoroughly taught to trust and obey us implicitly. I said to her, "Don't move." She froze. Not a muscle twitched. Fear paled her eyes as she followed our intense stare and felt the creature creeping up her neck. I could see the rising compulsion in her to slap at it, to flee screaming. She stood perfectly rigid as I slowly approached, reached out, and carefully flicked the spider away. It was a wonderful sense of gratitude we shared for having trained her to maintain control of her emotions. The tumbling tot. I was driving my truck some distance behind a horse-drawn hay wagon when a little fellow about 4 or 5 years old fell off the back of the wagon onto the gravel road. No one had noticed him, and the wagon continued to rattle along. I thought about going to his rescue, but he jumped up and ran to catch the wagon. After a couple of failed attempts to jump on, someone saw him and, grabbing a hand, swung him back into the wagon. After being seated, he rubbed his sore spots and continued on to the field. He did not expect the world to stop simply because he was lying in the road skinned up. I can imagine the fuss if that had happened to a modern, overindulged, undertrained child. Crying babies or crybabies? When crawlers or scooters cry, there should be a legitimate reason. If they are hungry, feed them. If they are sleepy, put them down for a nap. If they are truly hurt, allow time for the pain to subside. If they are physically uncomfortable, adjust their environment. If they are wet, change them. If they are afraid, hold them close. If they are grouchy, discipline them to get control of their self-centeredness. If they are mad, switch them. Whatever the cause, don't let your child stay unhappy. Meet their real needs and make their selfish crying an unrewarding experience. The mother, especially, should be careful to anticipate the infant's real needs and take care of them at appropriate times and levels. However, when the infant is allowed to gain control of his environment through whining, he is training her.